mindfulness mode.
Chunking it down and just working on skills and little actions.
Hey, Mindful Tribe, welcome back to another episode of Mindfulness Mode. I can't wait to tell you who I have with me. I have an awesome friend that we met years ago, and then we met again in Orlando recently when I was down there for PodFest. And she is absolutely spectacular. She's got so many great vibes. She's got such amazing skill and ability to help people, which is not unusual for my podcast, but she's an image expert. She's a dating coach. She's a matchmaker. And she's a therapist. And guess what? She also worked in Second City in Chicago, which is going to be cool to talk about. So I can't wait. We're here to talk with Kimmy Seltzer. Kimmy, are you in mindfulness mode today?
I am now. I mean, I had to practice that before I came on here
today. And I should have said your name is Kimberly, but most people call you Kimmy, don't they?
Yeah, no, I'm forever known as Kimmy, K-I-M-M-Y, because now it's my social handles and my website. Right. And, you know, the truth is that people who are near and dear to me end up calling me Kimmy anyways. Yeah. And I feel like it's just more me. Kimberly was too formal.
Yeah. And even your website is kimmyseltzer.com, right?
That's right. Thanks for calling that out.
Yeah. So what does mindfulness mean to you, Kimmy? I can't wait to hear your answer to this.
It's interesting because in the dating world, there actually has been more terminology around mindfulness dating. And so I've been talking about this a lot. And by the way, super excited to have you on my podcast too to talk about that. But, you know, for me, mindfulness really is about being intentional and being grounded and really present with where you're at. And, you know, it's interesting, especially in the dating world, a lot of times people might get really worried about the future and the choices that they might make, or, you know, worried about attracting the right person, you know, whatever conversation is going on in their head, or they're bogged down by the past. Maybe there was trauma, maybe there was toxicity, and they're worried about making a mistake. And so because they're so worried about the past and the future, they're not even connecting with people in that moment. And that's why it's so crucial. Easier said than done, but yet when you are, you'll have more genuine and authentic connections.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, tell me, how did you get into this space? How did you end up being that person that could help people with dating and that kind of thing?
Oh, it's been a long road. How much time do we have? I'm so happy you asked me about my story, because every time, like, you build me up in this intro with my background and all my credentials, and while that's super important, and obviously I feel so blessed that I've been able to have that knowledge to help people, the real reason why I got into doing what I do is because of my own hot mess, right? Like, we always are our own best teachers every single time. And I will try to make this long story a little bit shorter in the context, especially with what we're talking about. But, you know, I lived a very traditional life years ago. I practiced as a therapist for many years in the traditional sense. And there I was in the Midwest with my traditional house and picket fence and a couple of kids, a dog, a husband. I still have the kids, by the way, but you see where the story's going.
Yes.
Yeah. So one day I left my traditional life and we all picked up and we moved across the country and we land here in La La Land, Los Angeles. And it was like the minute we got here, we ended up doing what all the other people here do. We get a divorce. I'm joking. I like to blame LA, you know, because it's just a funny, cute story. But the truth is, I would have been here anyway, you know. And I think it just sped up the process, especially because I was removed from being insulated with that traditional life. And when I was stripped of it, and we were like facing the music, you know, together, there we were. So honestly, that's when the record stopped, and my life as I knew it, poof, completely disappeared. Mm-hmm. And I honestly didn't know what I was going to do with my new life. And talk about mindfulness. Oh my God. You know, here I am a therapist, right? I should know better. I should know how to get out of my head, out of my own way, you know, heal myself. And I did what I practiced and I preached, and that was working from the inside out. And I went to therapy and I went to counseling and I did all this work on myself. But here's the thing. I started doing so much work on myself, it became analysis paralysis. Right. And so then people would come to me and they would say, Kimmy, you know, are you going to start going out and dating again? And I'd say, oh, you know, I'm not really ready. I'm just doing the work. And so I kept using that phrase, I'm doing the work, but yet I wasn't taking any action. I know what you know what I mean by that, right?
I do, yes.
And so I almost felt like the work became a crutch because I was scared to really put myself out there. And so nothing was working. And quite honestly, if I had looked in the mirror that moment in my life, there something just kind of happened when I like really faced myself, because there I was. I saw this really like sad, frumpy girl with oversized black clothes, maybe a splash of beige. I saw my nursing bras on. I wasn't nursing any longer. I had flip-flops. I mean, I looked like a hot mess. And it just hit me like a lightning bolt. And I was like, wow, what happened to me? Like, who had I become? And so because nothing traditional was really working for me, I decided to do something untraditional. In that moment, I said, you know what? I'm going to go shopping therapy. This is where it all started. You asked like where I got started. So I go to the store because nothing fit me at all, black in my wardrobe. And I think I'm up-leveling myself, right? So I'm in the store and I'm collecting what? But black clothes again. But here, you know, I'm thinking, oh, it's new. I'll, you know, new me. And this personal shopper, I now refer her as my fairy godmother. She saw me and she was watching me. And she says, ma'am, you know, I've been watching you around the store and I really think you should try this on. And she holds up this red dress that looked like, well, three sizes too small. And it was really red. And I said, that's so sweet of you, but that's just not my size. It's not my color. She says, honey, that is your size. That is your color.
Oh, wow.
Try it on. Boom. Talk about, you know, mindfulness. And really, because it was like almost she hit me over the head to just be in that moment and sit with myself. And that was the lightning bolt again that hit me, where I was like, I caught my red dress moment, actually. It's the time that you wake up, where you stop numbing out, when you realize that you have to take action and do something different. And I said, wow, you know, she's right. I'm going to just try this dress on and see what happens. So I squeeze into it and I twirl around like Cinderella and bam, there I was. I saw myself in the mirror and I saw myself differently than I had seen in so long that I just sat there and I stared at myself. I'm like, oh my God, I'm a princess. Like, there I am. And so I bought that red dress and I called it a costume, as a costume, just to see like what would happen if I walked out into the world in it. And so I did. And I tell you, I took myself in that dress everywhere. I went to the grocery store. I went to the coffee shop. I went to walk my dog. And here, Bruce, here's what really shocked me is that finally men were noticing me. And I started noticing men notice me. And the thing that really shocked me, I didn't like it.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, this whole time I've been wearing the black clothes to keep me invisible, almost as a cloak from you alien men, because I was scared. I had feelings of, you know, unworthiness and all these things that I had like limiting beliefs about myself. But also I hadn't dated in like, you know, 10, 15 years. So I was a fish out of water. And so I really had to get used to being seen first and foremost. And this is where the whole like, you know, creation of my business kind of birthed out of this experience, because I realized there was a symbiotic relationship between the outer and the inner when it comes to confidence, that it's not superficial. How we market ourselves, which actually was just my TEDx talk that I just did recently, how we market ourselves.
Yes, I saw that. I saw your TEDx talk. It's so fantastic.
Oh, thank you. So you heard, I mean, I told this story more in a fairy tale kind of way.
Yeah, it was cool.
Thank you. It's, you know, we could do all the work inside and practice all the stuff, but if we don't put ourselves out there, we don't market ourselves in ways that people can actually see us, mm-hmm. then love will pass us by, opportunity will pass us by. Yeah. So there's kind of, there needs to be some congruency with that. So I now work from the outside in. Mm. I flip the script and I use this formula called the Charisma Quotient, which is the name of my podcast, which you are on.
Right.
And I work in three pillars, and we can kind of talk about that in a minute. But it's your style intelligence, which is your body language, your wardrobe, your presentation, your just it's your energy, like what people see, because it's the first thing that people see of you. The second is your emotional intelligence, how we express ourselves with authenticity mm-hmm. and vulnerability. And the third is your social intelligence, which is how we interact, you know, into the world, but most importantly, how we have fun doing that. And yes, flirting is part of it. Flirting is a big part of my business and what I teach and preach. So that's my story and I'm sticking to it. But really, like, there were so many other stories that came out of it, but that was like kind of my hero's journey, if you will, in really flipping the script in the way I help people.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, you must have a very, very in-depth understanding of men to do what you do. And so what do you know about men that most women don't know?
Ooh, I love that question. I've never been asked that. And so I love that you just asked that. Well, first of all, I feel pretty blessed that I work with both men and women. There's not a lot of people who work with that, you know, just both. And I do a lot of co-ed programs because to your, the point of your question, a lot of times men and women think we're all so different and they want to know how, you know, the opposite sex thinks. And so, you know, in ways, we all are pretty much the same. We all want love. We all want connection. We all want to be accepted, you know, and so, but how things get manifested are a little bit differently. And so we are different creatures, you know, men and women are different. And so when you're asking about like men, is there something in particular that you want me to like kind of spill the beans on or?
Yeah, definitely. I want to know how, like women have a certain mindset that they have certain beliefs about men, I think. And I think some of those beliefs are probably absolutely right on the mark and some of them are not. And I think that sometimes men feel as though women just don't get them. In other words, I can say it as a man. Sometimes I feel like women don't get me, you know?
Oh, Got it. Yes. Or like misunderstood.
Yes.
You know,
right.
Well, I will say I just did a workshop in front of like 250 men talking about, you know, what the women want and who women are and exactly what you're kind of saying. And the thing that I tell my women is that like, there are so many beautiful men out there who want to do the right thing, who want to love you and have a great relationship just like you, who are deep just like you. But sometimes the misunderstanding comes from different places. So for instance, if you're maybe a little more reserved or you're a little shyer and your body language is a little more closed off or you're hesitant, mm-hmm. women might think that you're aloof or not interested or even an asshole, to be honest. So,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
So a lot of times, like if you're not expressing yourself and men sometimes have a hard time doing that, then women might have a hard time like understanding or really feeling you. The second thing that I think is hard for men is that you don't have as much language when it comes to emotions and feelings as women. I mean, that's just a known fact. You
yes.
know, in the brain, I think we have a higher capacity for emotional language.
Yes.
However, when men can tap into the emotional language of a woman, oh, there's nothing like it. Like emotional attraction is huge.
Right.
So a lot of times a big mistake that men make is that they will try to impress a woman with a bunch of facts and why he's successful versus making a woman feel a certain way. And what I always tell people, and this is both for men and women, it's not about the facts. It's about the feelings that someone has and whether or not they want to move on with you. You could say the most like whimsical, silly statement, right? But if you deliver it with fun and, you know, like kind of this like playful way, then a woman will like you. And I would say, you know, part of that is body language too. It's your delivery and how you communicate with that woman to create attraction. I actually have a workshop coming up where I'm teaching sexy confidence, because sometimes the also other misunderstanding for men is that they're scared. So they don't want to, you know, up the ante or be too flirtatious. I mean, we live in a society now where it's very scary for men. I tell women this all the time. Like, it is super scary for men. Like, they don't want to cross the line or be seen as creepy, you know, that kind of thing. Right. And so men will hold back and hesitate. And then because of that, and there's like no flirtation that's happening, you might get stuck in the friend zone. Yeah. And so then you are seen as a nice guy. Maybe we could do lunch sometime, but they don't see you as like a sex partner, right, so to speak.
Yeah.
I say those are the top things. Yeah.
Yeah. That whole nice guy thing is a real problem, I think, for some men. And yes. I think I've read books where I thought, oh no, oh no. Oh, is this me? You know, and so I identify with that being a problem in my life.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's different for everybody and why that is. And, you know, being a therapist, too, I really, when I'm working with people, I don't believe that there's cookie cutter approaches with all this stuff. It's not like, here, say this line and you'll be out of the friend zone. Like, it's just not about that. It's also looking at your history and where maybe you ended up learning how to communicate with women and how that comes across. So, for instance, like I was, oh my God, I worked with a guy who was a quintessential Mr. Nice Guy. Like, he just fell into that, you know, pattern every single time. And one of the dynamics and reasons behind that is because he was just too nice. Now, it's not that women don't like nice guys. We love nice guys. However, he was just giving his power away, and he was almost, you know, doing too much too soon, too fast, where he didn't let the women earn him. And so he really had to learn how to discern that in real time, like what that looked like, what that felt like, and the way he communicated, his body language, the way he kind of needed to hold court a little more, you know, and set boundaries with women. Because at the end of the day, women actually feel safer when a man can hold that space. You know, because women, we don't like feeling stronger than a man, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. And so there's a sense of balance with the feminine and masculine energy that also interplays that. But, you know, until I work with somebody and cover, you know, where that comes from, that's when I can help people like kind of move forward with things. So that guy that I talked to you about, it was so great because I just did exercises with him where he was finding his voice. And it's such a beautiful story. I tell this all the time because one of the things I said, go on and somewhere record your voice saying like how you feel and express yourself with assertion. And he took it upon himself to go on Facebook Live. This was back in the day when Facebook Live was really big. And he started doing this. And then he started getting a following from all these other men saying, oh, me too, dude. Thank you for like putting this out. And then he created a podcast that got wildly, you know, like really popular. And he really found his voice. He started dating up a storm, and I was helping him with a little more sexy confidence and sex appeal. And he just texted me literally about 5 days ago that he's engaged. And
oh,
he found a great woman. Yeah. Yeah. So
that's cool.
Yeah. The stuff works. It just, you know, takes a little practice. And honestly, that's why I call myself a strategist more than a coach or a therapist these days, because I just think we all fall into habits that usually stem from our childhood, quite honestly.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's true for sure. And so how often do you work with people and you find out that it's really control, some aspect of control that is the problem in their life?
Oh, a lot of that. You know, if you are someone who has a lot of anxiety, and this is just me as a therapist kind of talking for a second, like dating anxiety is real. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is, it should be a diagnosis at this point, especially in the modern dating world. But when you have grown up usually in a household where there was like unpredictability, where you had to use control as a way to calm the system, mm-hmm. calm the environment, then you got into a habit of doing that even in your personal life and in your dating life. So when things feel uncertain, and boy, does dating cause uncertainty, then yeah, you might do things that start feeling like you're being controlling or, mm-hmm. you know, doing things that aren't sexy, you know, and that's where like maybe the desperation comes in. Like, you know, I worked with a woman who had that profile and background, and if she wouldn't hear back from a guy, you know, within like 10 minutes, she would just like feel totally out of control.
Oh, wow.
And anxious. And she, you know, thank God I was working with her because she would text me instead. I trained her to do, I'm like, don't text the guy. Like, you got to just, you know, chill for a second. But she had to learn to do other ways to soothe herself and to feel like less anxious. So, you know, control really comes from that. Now, again, how it manifests is a little differently. Like that was that woman. Well, I worked with someone else who just became controlling with men. Because she just wanted answers. She didn't want to be abandoned. And she felt like if she planned everything, if she told the men what to do, if she did, like she would have some sort of control over the outcome. Mm-hmm. But the truth is in efforts for her to not have guys leave, she was making guys leave. Yeah. You know, it was almost yeah. became a paradoxical effect in that.
Yeah. Wow. That's really interesting. It really is. And so what have you learned yourself in your own life that has helped you in your relationships? Because I know, you know, your story about your divorce, and that just sounded so challenging for you to go through. But what about now?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've had so many, I think, stories and lessons along the way. I use a metaphor of almost like the Wizard of Oz, you know, and I had my basket and I just kept collecting, you know, from all these characters and all these relationships that I had. And I would take what I learned and I put it in my basket and I'd move on to the next. And what's funny about to me in that metaphor is that like we're all in this quest for Oz, you know, like the one, you know, and maybe it's the soulmate or whoever we're looking for, you know, that will give us peace or love. But just as in the movie, I mean, it's just a man behind a curtain. There is no magical, you know, kind of thing. And so what I've learned is that each relationship has had a purpose, good, bad, or indifferent, you know, and even with my relationships and with each relationship, I learned how to be differently. And the thing that I tell people all the time, it's really important, is that we can't blame other people. You know, we can't say, oh, there's no good men out there. There's no good women. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too this, too that. You know, like we could do that till the cows come home. And when you're in that blaming energy, there's no way that you can take control of your own destiny right. and, you know, have that empowerment. Because to me, when all we can do is really look at ourselves. And if we can work on things to get a different result, that is where the magic comes in. And so with my personal life, too, I have learned that, you know, I mean, as an early dater, oh, my God. I mean, I think of myself. I mean, can you imagine dating a therapist? It was awful. Like I'd put these men on a couch, you know, and I would focus all on them and, you know, like make them feel good. Well, that's because I was good at that, right? That's where my confidence lives. So when we're in stress, we always default back to what we're good at. And so then what would happen? Well, either I would attract narcissists or fixer-uppers, right? Because I was leading with that. Yeah. Or I would get friend-zoned because like, no guy found that attractive. Like, you know, I feel like I'm on the couch, you know, like there was nothing sexy about that. So I had to learn how to pull back and be more in myself and share things about me and see who was really listening and let men earn me. Not that, and here's the thing, it's not getting rid of who you are, right? It's not being someone you're not. It's really having some control over the pacing of things and letting people earn aspects of you, and also marketing yourself so that somebody gets to know who you are. And when you do that, oh my God, it just becomes so much easier. And this is where the mindfulness comes in. You know, I really teach people on intentional dating. Like, you can't just expect Prince Charming to come knock on your door and say, I'm here. Like, you have to go for it. You got to get out there, but you have to be present with it. Because if you get too ahead of it, you'll crash and burn. That's where the anxiety comes in.
Right.
But if you learn to be present and mindful when you're dating, oh my God, it is so much fun.
Yes.
So that's the message I want everyone to get, is that dating is fun. You just have to learn how to practice some of the skills so you become more confident with it.
Well, that's a good message, a really positive message. I like that. Yeah, Kimmy, I want to jump to a completely different place. I want to jump to Second City, to the stage at Second City. So you were a comedian then, I guess. Is that right? Tell me about that experience.
Well, in my own right, I guess. I wasn't, you know, I just took the Second City training system and I went all the way through. So it was so much fun. I actually was a theater, you know, minor in college. I did theater in high school. So it was just kind of a natural thing that I wanted to do later in life. But what I used Second City for, and it was almost a surprise to me, because I was doing it just to keep things going in my theater life. I missed it. You know, it was more of a hobby that I was doing. But then I came to realize how amazing it was for therapy.
I was going to say therapeutic.
Oh my God, it was so therapeutic. And all the games and the exercises we did related to a lot of things that people need, like expression, being spontaneous, letting go of rejection, and being playful, like all the things that I teach. So back then, what I ended up doing is there's a modality called drama therapy, and I started incorporating drama therapy in the work that I did. I back then worked with like children and adolescents, and then I started doing it with adults as well. And I saw what an impact it had on people's ability to express themselves and shift things because we were in a role or we were playing a game. And so fast forward to now, I warn people all the time, like, if you're going to work with me, you got to know that I have an improv background, because like in all my programs, I'll do like improv games, you know, whether it's on a workshop or I do these co-ed dating retreats, which are amazing. And I only do them a couple times a year where people get together and I'll put them in an improv exercise and get them out of their head and more in their silly and their body. And it's amazing just kind of the breakthroughs that people have with that.
Well, that's cool. I was just going to ask you about retreats. So you do co-ed dating retreats. Do you do other types of retreats as well?
I do. You know, I decided that I'm going to actually alternate. I've done like different iterations of it. My next one is actually coming up, depending on when you're listening to this, June 21st.
Okay.
And we're doing it in Vegas, and it's called Spark Your Sexy. And I'm focusing really just on women for this one. It's for women who really want to focus on the F's, as I call it. Having fun, flirting, femininity, and fashion, you know, and what comes out of that is also friendship, you know, so it's kind of these five F's. And I just find nowadays, especially if you're dating later in life and in the second act, as I call it, we lose all five of those F's, you know, and especially as women, the friendship piece and feeling sexy in our body and all that, that confidence is so important. Because, you know, and this goes for men too, it really isn't about the women, it isn't about the man, it's about you. And when you look in the mirror and you feel sexy and you feel confident, that's when other people find you sexy and confident, right? Like that, it's like attracts like. And I see this all the time, and doing like transformations, you know, is my jam. So we do makeovers and we do like hair and makeup sessions and we do photo shoots and we do salsa dancing and burlesque. We do flirt coaching. I do scavenger hunts where I make people go out and do like funny, silly things in the field. And it's all for the purposes of really like, you know, helping people just get out of their own way, just like in my red dress story. It's like having a red dress moment, you know, in their own lives.
That sounds like so much fun for women. I think that sounds incredible. Do you do something like that ever for men?
Well, I do it now in a co-ed version. So where like I do all the same things, but then, you know, men are with the women when I'm doing it. And obviously, like, we come at it at a little bit different angle.
Sure,
but yeah, I do the photo shoots. I mean, men don't need hair and makeup unless they request it. you know, get them out of their heads. We get them dancing. You know, we get them out in the field and approaching women. And so, yeah, it's really no different. And maybe I'll do one for just men. You know, maybe I should do one for Mr. Nice Guy men.
Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting?
It would. Yeah. It would. Yeah. If you're listening to this and you want me to build it, then if, you know, if you come, then I'll build it.
So that sounds really cool. Tell me about your podcast, Charisma Quotient. What is your goal with your podcast?
It's so funny that you asked me that, because when I started it, I really didn't have a goal in mind. I just kept going on other people's podcast, and people would come to me and they say, Kimmy, where's your podcast? And this was 7-8 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, yeah, I don't really have one. And they're like, you should have one. And I said, yeah, I should. And then I just didn't, you know? And then there was a media company that kind of, you know, helped me launch just like the formula of it. So then at least I had a template. And back then I was getting, in my head about it, thinking I had to have something perfect before I launched it. But then when I had that formula, I had more confidence to do that. And yeah, I started like, 7 years ago, and 336 episodes later, I'm still here.
Wow.
But you know, what came out of it is, and the reason why I keep doing it is really you listeners. I get inspired by my listeners, because people would, you know, I offer these free breakthrough calls and people take advantage of it. And I'm like, oh, you're really listening to this? That's so cool. And they're like, no, I've been listening to you for years and you've helped me so much. And, you know, like knowing that I'm helping people just with my voice and some things. And what I like to do on mine is a little bit different. I have actually live coaching sessions on there so that people can hear me coach and not feel so alone mm-hmm. in the world. And like, oh yeah, when they hear those episodes, you're like, gosh, that person's just like me. I'll bring on success stories of people who've worked with me, and they talk about, you know, how working together really changed their lives. And then I bring on amazing experts like you to talk about different subject matters and flesh that out. And then I will do solo episodes as well on different like topics around dating and relationships.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds really fulfilling, and so much content to put out there for your listeners. That's really awesome. It really
yeah.
is.
Well, and that's it. And, you know, it was funny. I had a reaction. I don't know if you get this ever, but it was a couple of years ago and someone signed up for my free call. And I think her name was Betsy. And I'm like, hi, Betsy. And this is Kimmy. And then there was nothing on the other line. And there was this long pause. And she's like, no, don't hang up. She's like, I'm here. It's just like, it was so weird that you said my name. You're like, she's like, I've been listening to you for like 3 years, and I just finally got the courage to pick up the phone and actually talk with you. And it was such a funny moment for me. I said, you don't understand, like, it's stranger for me because I'm just talking in a microphone. I have no idea who's out there than
right.
for you, because you know more about me than I know about you. And that's why we're talking. So I love that I can just be more intimate with people in this format. That's what podcasting, I think, is so wonderful for.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I've had that many times, and it's a funny feeling because, you know, you don't realize that people just think of you almost as a celebrity, even though, you know, I'm just little old me, right? Like, you just, like you say, you're just sitting here with a microphone. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, Kimmy, I want to ask you a question about bullying, because I've worked in the field of bullying prevention for a long time. Oh, and yeah. I always ask a question about that on my podcast. And so I'm just curious if you have any kind of story about bullying where mindfulness would have made a difference.
Wow, that takes me back to the days when I worked in the school system as a clinical social worker. And I had a ton of those scenarios with bullying. And I think probably now it's even more because there's like social media bullying
yes.
now that we didn't have growing up, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I, and you know this, but just where bullying comes from is that person usually has been bullied themselves, and a lot of it is in the household. And it stems from low self-esteem. And so they bully other people so that they feel better about themselves because they're not really happy within.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I don't recall like one particular story, but I know that when I worked with kids who were like that, because I did like group therapy and individual therapy with these kids, the thing that really did help them is giving them a sense of self-worth, giving them a purpose, giving them a job, giving them a task, giving them something that they could feel good about so that they didn't have to get that negative attention. You know, it was really like helping them turn around into something positive. And, you know, I think we look at bullies as like bad people, but if we can look at bullies as someone who's really hurting, mm-hmm. and come from a place of love, where the mindfulness can really come in is not dwelling on the past, right? And not like worrying about like the behavior in the future, but again, being present with that person and what can they do in ways of like little tasks that can better themselves, but also help others. Because, you know, once they turn it around and then they can actually give to other people rather than take away or abuse, that will help them see a different way of, you know, raising their self-esteem. So,
yeah, for sure. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Well, as we move forward in the interview, Kim, I want to ask you five quick answer questions. So just 30-second answers are perfect. The first one is this. Who is one person who has been a powerful mindfulness influence in your life?
My father.
Oh, nice.
My father, yeah. I think he drove my passion for being an entrepreneur and business. He passed when I was young, but he passed on just such a beautiful like message to me that I could do anything I wanted, you know, if I put my mind to it, yeah. You know, kind of thing. So yeah, I would definitely applaud my dad here.
Oh, that's awesome. And tell me how mindfulness has affected your emotions or how you deal with your emotions.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because again, like being a helper, I've been so trained on helping other people with emotions that in my young career, it took a lot to really like be okay with my emotions and not forget them. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a common thing with helpers. Like we tend to focus on others and not enough of ourselves. So right. I just make sure that every single day that I have room and space where I have just me. I'm not giving, I'm not talking. And it could look like exercise. Like I have a morning ritual that I have every single day where I love yoga. I love, you know, just different exercises. I'm here in California, so I'm not going to lie. I do walk by the beach. Sorry, yeah, everyone. Sure. That's why I moved here, right? And I think that is such a powerful tool for releasing. But I also have key people in my life that I talk to. It's so important to have people that you trust and know to be able to like air some of these things out, who really like care about you. And you can't handle everything yourself. You have to really have those people in your life that you can express. And I would say like my mom is my biggest, you know, fan there. And like, I can call her with anything and it doesn't matter big or small. So it's super important to have that person.
Oh, that's really awesome. Let's talk about breathing. Do you have any thoughts, any specific ideas about breathing that help you with mindfulness?
You know, for me, it's embedded in my exercise and my yoga routine. And so I practice the breathing. And like I said, I have that morning ritual where I do some sort of exercise every single day. And I feel like the breathing is more organic to the process. But, you know, not everybody is like that. Some people have to have like an app or really have like dedicated time for meditation and breathing. It honestly, it's whatever works for you.
Sure.
But I think breathing is really a powerful tool in helping relax the body and be more present.
Yeah, I agree. How about a book? Is there a book that you would recommend that's related to this topic?
so many, right? Well, there's no more Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, that's a very powerful book.
Dr. Robert Glover, I will call him out. And the reason is actually he came on my podcast. We did a great episode together. Yeah. And definitely should check that out. I think that's really powerful for men. And for women, Why Men Love Bitches is a great one for women. And it really is the same premise. It's about setting boundaries. It's about holding your queendom or your kingdom and court, and having more of a sense of ownership, you know, like when it comes to, you know, attracting that right partner for you.
Yeah. That was a very powerful book. I remember reading it. Wow. Yeah. And so my last question is about an app. Are there any apps that you recommend?
In relation to dating or meditation?
Yeah, it could be dating or mindfulness or mindful dating.
Well, I know that with mindfulness, like breathing and meditation, breathe. That app Breathe. It's such a simple, because there's a lot of clients that I work with who don't have time. If you are, you know, a high achiever, you're busy, you're in the workforce, you don't have time to do like this huge routine in the morning. Yeah. I love Breathe because, I mean, you just do a couple minutes each morning or each night, whatever, whenever you want to. And it has variety in it too, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, it's so great to have you on the show. And before we wrap up, I do want to ask you for some final words of advice that you would have for our listeners. So any thoughts, any final words that you can share with our listeners today, Kimmy?
Yeah, and I think it relates to the mindfulness. You know, it's hard to be present. And one of the reasons why it's hard is it's daunting to think of trying to achieve something in a bigger capacity, right? So if you're single, say, oh, yeah, I need to go out there and date, or, oh, yeah, I need to like cut out these like patterns of relationships. Like that's overwhelming. And so what I like to do with, you know, the people that I work with and even in all my programs is chunking it down and just working on skills and little actions that build your confidence to obtain that bigger goal. Right. So instead of saying, oh, yeah, I got to get back out there and date, say, OK, well, looking at the charisma quotient, I'm going to pick one thing in each of those pillars and work on it. So ladies, maybe get a red dress if you're always wearing dull colors. Men, get a new shirt, you know, and think about the sex appeal in your shirt and see how that interacts with not only the world, but yourself, too. You know, and emotional intelligence, just learn to say no. If you don't like something and you don't want to like maybe go to a restaurant, say no, you know, and see what that does for you. And in the third pillar, flirting. Okay. Now don't feel like you have to go out and twirl your hair, ladies, and like all these things that you might have an association around flirting, but maybe it's just making eye contact with five guys next week. Gamify it. Like I have this new program called Kimmy's Love Hub. And in this program, I drip these challenges of the week where I make people go out and do things, you know, in their app. And it's fantastic because it takes kind of the anxiety and the overwhelm out of things that, you know, just feel really awful and uncomfortable. So again, just like chunk it down into small actions because that will lead to the bigger win.
That's a great suggestion. Kimmy, it has been so much fun having you on the show. KimmySeltzer.com. That's your website. Mindful Tribe, check it out. Check out some of these retreats. Check out the podcast for sure, Charisma Quotient. Kimmy, thank you again. And you have a terrific rest of your day. Okay, Kimmy?
Thank you. And if you want to know what kind of dater you are, I have a dating quiz. If anyone is interested, you just go to KimmySeltzer.com/quiz and it'll get you there. And that's a great place to get started. Again, one small action can lead to the success. So thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Take care. Bye now.
Bye.
Hey, Mindful Tribe. Thanks for joining us today. And I want to thank my sponsor, Athletic Greens. They have a product called AG1. And I can tell you that this is a terrific product. It contains 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source ingredients, and probiotics. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy free, or gluten free, this will work for you. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals, no artificial ingredients. It supports better sleep and better alertness. Athletic Greens uses the best products based on the latest science, and it costs less than $3 a day. So here's a special offer for you, Mindful Tribe. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/mindfulness. And with that, take what we've learned today to reach new heights of calm, focus, and happiness. Stay in the mode.